Hey, River Church, happy Mother's Day. My name is Rachel, and I'm one of the Leadership Training School students here, and I'm actually graduating this semester. I'm a few pieces of paperwork away from being a licensed minister, and happy Mother's Day to my mom. I think I have a picture from her that I can throw up on the screen. She's watching me today from Grand Rapids, Michigan, from her living room, and she's watching it with her mom. Super special day today. Before I get started, I am just gonna pray for us really quick. Today we're gonna be talking about one of the most important mothers of all time, arguably, which is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I'm gonna pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you for mothers, and thank you for the word that you've just put on my heart. I just ask that that you would bring people ears to listen, soft hearts for your word to land, and that every word on my lips would be from you, Father. We ask this all in your son's name. Amen. So before we look too much into Mary, this is a character study. So there's lots of like small bits and pieces of scripture that we're pulling from, and we only get to see little snapshots of Mary in action. Before I even dig into any of those, though, I think it's really important that we ask the question, what was it like to be a Jewish woman in this time frame? What is the context that we're reading these in? And so a Jewish woman in this time frame would have been uneducated, except for attending synagogue on the Sabbath, where she would have heard teachings from the Old Testament, but nothing really much further than that. Women were not allowed to testify in court, and they were usually confined either to their father's home or until they were married to their husband's home. Because they were uneducated, they had no way to financially provide for themselves, and so they had to be under the care of a man in this culture. Especially married women usually wore a veil in public, and they couldn't really speak much in public either, not even like privately to their husband. And marriage, interestingly enough, was more of a money arrangement between the two families than it was anything else. The pride of a woman at this time was her purity. So as you can imagine, talking about Mary, how this is going to play out, but the pride of a woman was her purity. It was also very honorable to have a woman who would help the man uphold the Levitical law. And obviously another purpose of the woman was to bring children to the family. So with that in mind, we're gonna start in Luke chapter 1, which is the Christmas story as we know it, and when we first meet Mary. So in Luke 1, starting in verse 28, the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" I'm sure that she was wondering the practical, like, how can this be since I'm a virgin? But I'm sure she also knew the cultural implications of this task that the angel is asking her. But it's funny because the angel doesn't talk about you're going to have to bear this cultural shame where everyone thinks that you got pregnant before you were married and did something. And Mary just says, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And it's the focus is not on what she's going to have to endure culturally. We know that Joseph was going to try to quietly divorce her until the angel stepped in and gave him a vision and said not to. But Mary's faith, her response in verse 37 is, verse 38. She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word, no matter what that cultural risk is. Later in Jesus's ministry, we see snapshots of the Pharisees saying things to him like, well, at least I wasn't born out of wedlock. Jesus says some things to them in response. But it was well known in the town that they lived in that Jesus was conceived outside of a covenant marriage. And this would have brought shame to Mary. It would have brought shame to Joseph. It would have brought shame to Mary's family and Joseph's family. And this was something that they endured. And we also have to have this faith in God that, yes, what you say, because of the good it does for the kingdom of God, bringing the Savior into the world is way more important than what other people think of me. Sister-in-law, Aunt Elizabeth, says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed is Mary for having this moment. She was probably only between 12 and 16 years old when this happened. That was just, again, part of the culture. And to have that faith as a young girl of, okay, God, if you said it, let it be. She gave up the right to her reputation, and there was a purpose for her pain. And God does that for us too. We give up the right sometimes to do certain things for the glory of God, and there is a purpose for that pain. The next snapshot that I want to zoom in on is actually from John chapter 2. Jesus has grown up and he's more of an adult now. And there's the wedding in Cana in Galilee. And I'm just going to read this verse to you because it's a really human moment between Mary, a mom, and Jesus as a son. They have an interesting exchange here. So John chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 3. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Then his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Wait. We missed something here because Jesus says, this has nothing to do with me. And then Mary goes and tells the servants to do whatever he tells you. So something happened in here between the text that we're not seeing in order to jump from that to that. So this is how I play it out in my head. Mary says, hey, Jesus, they have no wine. And she gives him the look. My mom, I know you're watching. I know you know the look, the one that I feel. I don't even have to look at you to know that you're giving it to me. She gives him this look of Jesus. They have no wine. Because culturally, wine was provided by the bride's family. They were in charge of hosting it. And so again, culturally, they would have been shamed for running out of wine. They would have been bad hosts for the rest of their marriage. Really, that's what people would remember. And because Jesus and his mom and some of his siblings were there, it was probably a close family friend. And so they might have even been tied into that shame. And so Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus says, how is this a me problem? I think Jesus was sassy. We don't know how he responded or the tone of voice he said. But she gave him the look, and I'm sure Jesus either exasperatedly or just accepted his fate as having to do what his mother said, goes, okay. And then Mary says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. I say all of this to point out that Mary has an influential role in starting Jesus's ministry. She was not only there to witness his first miracle, but she encouraged him into it. I actually asked myself the question, was she expecting him to do a miracle, or was she expecting him to go to the grocery store and pick up more wine? I actually don't know the answer to that, but either way, she witnessed his first miracle and she encouraged him into it. Just like my mom, as I grew up, encouraged me, hey, you should consider going to college. And starting this thing because I believe in you. That's the same thing that Mary did here. Jesus probably loved his mom a lot. And I wonder how much Mary knew what the implications of him starting his ministry was. We know that she had this inside scoop from the angel, but how much did she actually know how their relationship was going to change? An example of how their relationship changed, we can pick up in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is out speaking to his disciples, are with him, and he's teaching them. He's just done a bunch of miracles, casted out demons. He's in the middle of his ministry, right? And one of the disciples comes up to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here." And Jesus says, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then he gestures towards the disciples and he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." And my first thought when I read this was like, dang, Jesus, it seems almost like he's like disowning his own family and like, yeah, you're not my mom. Like, I have spiritual mothers here, or you are my brothers. The disciples are now. And I don't think that's what he's saying. What he's doing is he's creating the family of God. And he defines it with this, whoever does the will of the Father. So from Mary's perspective, I don't think that she's being shut out as his mom. She's still his mom, and he's still her son. But there's a new level added here, because Mary obviously is someone who does the will of the Father regularly and with her whole life, that she is now in a dual relationship with Jesus, where she's his mom and she's a part of his spiritual family, the same spiritual family that you and I are a part of today. And it's through her faith that she gets to continue in this kind of relationship with Jesus. Super cool. Jesus goes on in his ministry, and Mary actually probably had a role in supporting him financially. I, from my studies, have come to the conclusion that Joseph probably died sometime between when Jesus was 12 and before he died on the cross. Maybe a little bit closer to when he died on the cross, because Jesus at this point, before he started his ministry, he had taken over the family business of carpentry. And because of this moment on the cross, which I'll get into that in a second. So Jesus carries on with his ministry, and it gets him in a lot of trouble. And he's led up to the crucifixion, where he's dying on the cross in front of them. And it says in John 19, is where I'm picking this up. It says, "Standing in front of the cross was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister," so his aunt, "Mary, the wife of Clopas." This character, I think, might be one of the mothers of the disciples. And Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which is John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," gesturing to John. And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So what's happening here is Jesus is dying on the cross. As the oldest son, it's been his responsibility to take care of his mom financially and physically, to take care of her. And because he's dying, and he looks out at the crowd that's around, thinking, who's going to take care of my mom? His brothers aren't there. And the only disciple that's there is John, who was the youngest and might have been a distant cousin to Jesus. So kind of like a little brother to him, maybe. And so Jesus says, "John, you're going to take care of my mom as if she's your own mom. Mom, John's going to take care of you as if he's your son." This was a practical decision that Jesus made as he was dying on the cross, which he only said about 7 things on the cross. A crucifixion, you actually die of suffocation because your lungs can't, they collapse basically. And he would have had to pull himself up by the nails in his hands in order to breathe and say anything. So this is something that he said as he was dying that was obviously very, very important. And so, yeah, this is a practical decision of John taking care of Mary, but all of our practical actions have spiritual implications as well, just like when Jesus defined the spiritual family of God. When Jesus, there was a separation, when Jesus gave Mary to John, he kind of removes himself as son, right? He's no longer responsible for the task of taking care of her. And so that there's a separation there. And now what is he? Well, he's her savior. He's dying for her on the cross. He knew her so well, just like he knows you and me very, very well. And he loved her so much. And he knew all of her struggles and all of her pain. He grew up watching her struggle with the cultural shame of having a child out of wedlock. He knew all of her struggles of being a woman in a culture that silenced them. And he said to her, by this action, you are worth dying for. And for Mary, wherever you are, if you're able for a moment, I want to invite you to close your eyes so we can stand for a moment in Mary's shoes. She was able to bring her full self to the foot of the cross and to look at Jesus, bloodied and beaten, and know that he was more than just her son. He saved her, and she needed him. We all need him. He saw you from the cross and said, you're worth dying for, because I love you, because I know you, because I know how hard it is to just be a human. And because of his death, we have this access to the fullness of God, where there is abundant life, where there is healing from all of this, and where there is a love of a savior. So I wonder where Mary was for those 3 days. And I wonder if she remembered what the angel said and remembered all of the prophecies about Jesus. And I wonder if she knew, and I wonder if she doubted. The scripture actually doesn't tell us. There's never a verse where Mary hears about the resurrection. We don't get that. We don't know who told her or how she found out, if she got to see Jesus when he was resurrected or not. I wonder if John told her because he was the disciple that was taking care of her. I wonder if maybe she heard from Mary Magdalene because Mary was one of the women that first was there when Jesus rose and found the empty tomb. We just don't know. We also don't know if Mary got to see Jesus resurrected. I would say it's not, again, we have no scripture that says whether this did or didn't happen, but I would say it's not out of Jesus's character to have visited Mary privately. But the disciples who wrote the Gospels wouldn't have known that, so we just don't know if it happened or not. The next time we see Mary is in Acts chapter 2. John is still taking care of her. And she's invited into this meeting where the disciples cast a vote on who should replace the disciple Judas, who had killed himself after Jesus' death. And so she's there. She's a part of this meeting. In Acts chapter 2, verse 13, it lists all of the disciples. And then in verse 14, it says, all of these were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers. The women was probably people like Mary Magdalene and this other group of women that actually kind of followed Jesus around as well, and probably supported him financially. And I wonder, too, if Mary was some kind of mentor to them or spiritual mother to them, since she was a part of this family of God that Jesus defined. And so in Acts chapter 2, she's with the disciples, she's in the meetings, and she's there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit falls. And she gets to experience the fullness of God, the flames of like fire of the Holy Spirit and the miracle of speaking in tongues. And she gets access to all of this and the fullness of God. And she probably has her mind blown at what it means that Jesus saved her all over again. I believe that Jesus promises this gift to all of us still, which means we can be like Mary and seek this spiritual gift as well. And it's just so cool to me that Mary, she sacrificed her rights to follow Jesus and her life, and she gave her life to birth the Savior of the world and whatever that meant, God. And then she was a part of Jesus's family, like, obviously because she's his, but the spiritual family of God. And she got to be his follower. And she got to experience being a part of the early church after Jesus had ascended. What an inspiration of a woman of faith. Mary, as far as, like, whenever we refer to her, we always say, Mary the mother, Mary the mother, Mary the mother of Jesus. But she was so much more than just the mother of Jesus. She was a woman of great faith. She was a Jewish woman in a first century culture. She was a mom. She had more kids than just Jesus. And she was a follower of Jesus. And Jesus was more than just her son. He was her savior. I'm just going to pray for us to close. Jesus, thank you for dying for us on the cross, for dying for Mary, and for loving us the same way that you loved her. I just ask that this week we could reflect on Mary, her faith, her character, and that you would allow us to become more like her. Jesus, we need you. Just as Mary did, we need you to be our Savior. And we just invite you into our hearts this week. We ask this all in your Son's name. Amen.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much, Rachel. What a cool message. All of those aspects of Mary, we read about her, and I've never really looked at all of those things before with Mary. And what just an awesome, awesome woman she is. And yeah, she also was saved by her son. How crazy is that? Very, very cool. This morning, if you want to encounter that saving grace and love that Jesus has for you, I want to just invite you to comment below in the comment boxes and just say, I want to get to know Jesus as my Savior. We want to reach out to you and pray for you and pray with you and celebrate with you this decision of starting this new relationship with Jesus this morning. If you have any other prayer requests, we'd love to pray with you. We want to connect with you and just spend a little time in prayer and in conversation with you. If you have any other questions about the church or about other things, please comment below. We'd love to hear from you. And with that, guys, have a great rest of your day and enjoy spending time with your moms. God bless you. Take care, and we'll see you right back here next week. See you.